I really enjoyed this passage this week as I was studying it. You know, love and repentance and restoration is the theme of this passage we're going to look at this morning in John 21. We're going to focus on verses 15 through 17. And earlier, if you'll remember, in chapter 18 of John, Peter failed at a time when it appeared, at least to those around Jesus, that Jesus needed him the most. And Peter compounded his fearful behavior by denying Jesus three times. And yet, Jesus loves Peter, and he knows Peter was grieved by his denial and his sin. And so Jesus knew in Peter's heart that Peter loved him and had just given into fear. So in this passage, we see Jesus coming to Peter. This passage in John chapter 21 gives both Peter and us, I think, great encouragement. As I read it, I was encouraged, for the outcome has got to be more than Peter could have ever had hoped for. And like Peter, when we sin, we rightly know that we lose intimacy with God. And this is because Jesus is holy, God is holy, and we are not, and our sin separates us from God, who is the most holy God, the only God. Sin is a barrier between us and God. And this is why God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus, that He would die as the atonement for our sins so we could once again have a relationship and be in the presence of God. So even though we are in a state of ruin because of our sin, God makes us a great promise. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, as soon as we sin, because we all sin, as soon as we sin and we recognize that we've sinned, we need to confess and repent. And when we do that, God cleanses us. He restores us. And this is what is demonstrated in this scripture passage this morning with Jesus and Peter. If you look in John 21, verse 12, we see that Peter is sitting next to Jesus around the fire. And it says in verse 12, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. I mean, it makes me feel that Peter is probably feeling more of the heat of his unconfessed sin than the warmth of the fire he's sitting around with Christ. To understand this passage, though, we need to go back and look at what caused Peter to fall in the sin and the state he was in for Jesus to come. I mean, to understand this passage, we have to see that Peter's fall into sin came out of his self-reliance, out of his own conceit and ego. And many of us, I think, have all probably suffered the same sin as Peter because we were relying on our own abilities rather than relying on Jesus Christ. Let's journey back, if you will, to John chapter 13. We find them in the upper room. And Jesus has just told the disciples that where he's going, they can't go. And so he's continuing his teaching. It says in verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. This commandment to love one another means that we are to care for other Christians. This is talking about believers, not unbelievers. We are to care for Christians. We are to serve Christians. We are to place the needs of other Christians above our own. And when we do that, then all people's needs are taken care of. So Jesus wanted the disciples, he wants you and I through this study this morning to understand he calls us to serve, and he calls us to serve with humble hearts. Jesus commanded that the disciples love one another. And here's how Peter responds in verse 37. He says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. I mean, Jesus has just taught that the disciples needed humility and that they should serve by his strength and power. But Peter is boasting that he's going to serve out of his own strength, his own power. Jesus looks at Peter and gives him a truth that had to be pretty hard to hear. Jesus says in verse 38, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me three times. Wow. He tells Peter this in front of all the other disciples. You know, I don't know about you, but I've had some misguided conversations as well with God, where I'm thinking somehow I can serve Him. Somehow I can help God. And then if I can help God and do something great for God, then somehow that validates me and proves me worthy. See, and when I've had these conversations, often I find at the same time, I'm having a difficult time listening to God because of my own ego and pride. And I think this is exactly where we're finding Peter as well. Peter just couldn't set aside his own feelings of worth, his own pride, to listen to Jesus with an open mind and listen to what Jesus is trying to communicate to him. You know, you remember right after this, they leave the upper room and they head towards the garden where Jesus is going to be arrested. And Jesus, along the way, he informs his disciples that once he is killed, the believers are going to be scattered. And he says, even though I raise up from the dead, the believers will be scattered. And then he tells the disciples, he says, after I rise from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. And this is where we find ourselves this morning in our study on the Sea of Galilee. So here amid this crucial teaching to the disciples again, we know from Matthew chapter 26 that Peter once again interrupts Jesus and he says, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Can you hear Peter's boastful pride in this statement? Peter is saying he's never going to fail Christ. Even though some of the other disciples may fail you, Jesus, I won't. You know, and he's saying he's not the average person. He's better than the average person. He's stronger than the average person because he's going to remain faithful to Christ no matter what. And then Jesus looks at him and says in Matthew and says to Peter, truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So once again, Jesus tells Peter in front of all those that are gathered that he is overestimating his abilities. He lacks humility. Peter just can't help himself. He's thinking about his needs, and he's not listening to Jesus. And then in Matthew 26, it continues in verse 35, it says, Peter says, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And then, not to be outdone, it says, and all the other disciples said the same thing. See, Satan uses Peter's self-reliance, his overconfidence, to convince Peter, once he sins, that he's unworthy. And Satan puts doubt in his mind. Does Jesus even really love you? You're a sinner. Sadly, like Peter, I have not always taken the scriptures to heart the way I should. I've had moments of doubt. I've had, Lord, how can you love me? I'm such a rotten person at times. So we need to learn the way to not allow Satan to affect our heart and minds is to spend time studying the scriptures, filling our mind with good things. When we study the Gospels, they all tell us that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. If we're going to learn from Peter, from this passage in a few moments that we have in John, if we're going to learn, then I think we need to ask ourselves the same kind of question. How have we denied Christ lately? What have we done in our lives to deny Christ? Either by the things we've done, and the things we haven't done. See, if we are humble enough to realize we are sinners, and we confess our sin and repent, Jesus will forgive us. And then we come to the understanding that we need to be reliant on Him, dependent on Him, and allow Him to direct us. We don't have to worry about where the road is going if we're following Jesus' directions. We have to worry when we follow ours. See, only when we can move away from our pride, which is really difficult, especially for men, are we able then to remove this distance from between us and Christ and grow closer to Him. See, Peter fell through fear and pride, and he put a wall between him and Christ. Christ didn't put the wall there. Peter did. Peter is incapable of restoring himself. He's incapable of really seeking Jesus. But now, here at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus comes to Peter. See, this is where we'll see the restoration. Peter's restoration has 2 parts. First, Jesus' questions Peter 3 times to prompt his awareness of his dependency on Jesus. And second, Peter's humble responses. As we examine these, as we examine what Jesus is trying to get Peter to see and Peter's response to Jesus, you should be asking yourself, how do these lessons apply to my own life? What does it mean for me this day that how I'm supposed to relate to Christ? The first thing we know in our passage in verse 15, Jesus addresses Peter and asks him a question. And the question is, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? It's significant here that Simon had been Peter for several years now, renamed by Christ. And yet Jesus uses Simon Peter's old name, the name he was known by before he met Jesus. See, Simon means one who has heard. And see, the problem is, like most Jews, Simon Barjona, Simon the son of John, was a Jew. He had heard of God. He had heard the readings in the temple or the other gathering assemblies. But he didn't know God. Like most of the Jews, God was a distant thing that they had no relationship with. So Jesus changes his name to Peter. Peter means rock. As Peter, the rock would hear and he would believe. And Jesus then would use him to build his church. But here, Jesus goes back to the old name, Simon, because he's reminding Peter of who he was before Christ came into his life. See, when I'm frustrated and I have pain sometimes because of my sin, and I'm shocked sometimes because I'm disobedient to Christ, I like to take my mind and I like to go back to who I was before Christ came into my life. And it gives me a strong dose of reality. It also gives me great courage. I mean, I would never want to go back to the bill before Jesus Christ. It humbles me that I can see how far Jesus has brought me in my life, even though I know I have a long way to go. And it's a journey with Christ. It's not a destination, at least in this lifetime. But as I look at this path that Jesus has put me on, then I truly can be eternally thankful at what He has done for me. And that emboldens me and helps me want to take the gospel message of Jesus Christ out to the lost. And it makes me know that if I want to become more of a Christian, more of a Christian man and a husband and a father, then I have to learn how to trust in Christ and let Him direct my life. I have to surrender myself. And for, I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, that can be really tough at times. So you need to ask yourself, how are you doing in your daily walk in surrendering to Christ and not flexing your ego to have what you want? See, Peter had come to believe that he was the rock. But he came to believe he was a rock by his own strength, not because of Jesus. He still had to learn that if he was going to be the rock of Jesus Christ, he could only do that when he was working under Jesus' power, not his own. Have you ever found yourself in the same situation? And you begin to think of the things that Christ has put in your life, the way He has changed you, the way He has matured you spiritually. You begin to think, you did it instead of Christ? If you do, when that happens, if you don't correct it, you're going to fall, just like Peter. The question for you and me is, when we sin, not if we sin, but when we sin, do we repent? Do we learn? Do we take Christ and what the Lord puts on our heart? Do we truly take it into our heart and change?
No.
Are we leaning on our own strength less and the strength of the Lord more? Or are we just too full of ourselves? See, as I thought this through this week, as I was looking at this passage, to be honest with you, I wasn't all that thrilled with the answer the Lord put on my heart. See, I think if you'll meditate on these scriptures this week, you'll see that maybe you need to let go more of yourself, which is just what Peter had to do this morning at the Sea of Galilee as he sat around the fire with Jesus Christ. And then as we look at these verses, the impact of verses 15 and 16 and really on into 17 somewhat lose their strength and meaning because of our English language. So let me read these verses but add some commentary or definition that I want you to understand. In 15 it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? So when he asks him, do you love me? Jesus uses the Greek word agapio or agape love, meaning complete love, total love, 100% unconditional love. And then he ends that question, it says, more than these. And this is referring to the other disciples, because remember, Peter had put himself above the other disciples. And then Peter answers Jesus and said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Now here, Peter uses a different word for love. He uses phileo, meaning fondness or brotherly love. And Jesus said to him then, feed my lambs. Then in 16 it says, and he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Again, using agape. And Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, using phileo. Jesus said to him, then tend my sheep. See, we know that God is the only one, single being, the only one who is truly capable of unconditional love. Peter is recognizing that he is not capable at the same level of love that Jesus is, because Jesus is God. Jesus has this total, complete, unconditional love for Peter. And this is the reason that he sought Peter out here on the shore of the sea. And he's going to restore him. And Peter is humbled, because he has to admit that he is only capable of loving Jesus back with phileo love, brotherly love. See, Jesus' agape love for Peter is so complete. And this is true for all believers. Jesus has agape love, total, complete, unadulterated, unmerited love for each and every believer. And we know this by one of the most famous quoted verses in the Scriptures, John 3:16. It says, for God so loved, and he's using agapeo or agape, the world. God then has this complete, unconditional, total love for the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. See, the question Jesus asked Peter is designed to show Peter he is not capable of this level of love. But he thought he was in the past. He boasted he was in the past. See, Peter had said in Matthew that because he loved Jesus more than the other disciples, he would never, never fail Jesus. That morning, as they were sitting around the fire on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus looks Peter in the eye as one man to another, but also as God looks into your eye, and said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He's saying, Simon Peter, do you really think you can have agape love for me? And Peter had boasted that he loved on that level. And his behavior, what did his behavior prove? What does history show? Was Peter able to love Christ with agape love? No. No human can do that. Peter responds the only way he is able. He's now been humbled by the denials of Jesus, and Jesus gently putting him in his place. And Peter says, no, Lord, I love you with a lesser love, a phileo love. Jesus asks a second time in verse 16. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? How merciful. Do you see the difference between verse 15 and 16 here? Jesus is very merciful. He drops the comparison in 16 between Peter and the other disciples. Because Peter's being crushed. And he doesn't want to crush him. He wants to restore him. And Peter says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus looks at him and says, tend my sheep. Jesus is saying, Peter, I have this complete love for you, and now you are right to recognize that you have a limited ability to return the love to me. Do you understand this? Is this where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you understand His unconditional love for you, and that your love for Him is conditional? Are you able to admit that, as Peter did, that you aren't able to be as much as you would like to be? And Jesus loves you with no limits. Do you recognize that you have limits? Because we are mere created beings. If you do, then when you do sin, because we're all going to sin, you'll know when Satan tries to tell you you're unworthy and that God doesn't love you, you'll know it's a lie. Jesus loves you so completely that He can never stop loving you. And He always wants to restore you. You know, I thought as a very simple comparison was being a parent. You know, as a parent, we always want to restore our children when they fail. I mean, we may have to discipline them or correct them. But because of our love for our children, even when we're sometimes grossly disappointed in them, we always want to restore them. Jesus is showing Peter that He loves him unconditionally, and He's questioning Peter's ability to love him back. Even, can you love me with phileo love? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I can love you that way. You know that I love you. And Peter and Jesus is saying, okay, Simon, now that we've established your limits, I'm going to help you grow spiritually. Because you now are understanding who I am and who you are. And I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to equip you that you will be able to lead people to know that I am the Christ. And in fact, I'm going to have you plant churches in my name. See, didn't Jesus predict this in Matthew chapter 16? He says, Peter, I'll make you the foundation of the church. It says in Matthew 16, Jesus said to the disciples, but who do you say that I am? He asked this after he had asked who the people thought he was. And again, I love Simon. Peter, he just steps up there and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered Peter and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And then he says this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you understand that brings us to where we are this very morning, to this room this morning? History has proven that the church of Jesus Christ cannot be destroyed by Satan. And history shows that this church is a heritage of the churches planted by the disciples. We know that Satan has no claim to the true church of Jesus Christ. The true church, the remnant church, those like us here at Canyon Bible who believe the Bible is the sacred word of God and we are not to mess with it. We are to understand it and we are to live it. So the question is, do we love Christ enough to be His church, His living church? And the answer is yes, but with this caveat. It's yes, only if we understand we are His church by His power and not our own. What a great promise Christ gives to Peter and to us, His church. See, Jesus chose to build His church with redeemed sinners. That means you. That means me. And even though Jesus knows your deepest and darkest sins, He loves you. And quite frankly, I have to tell you, I'm glad I don't know your deepest and darkest sins. And I'm equally as glad you don't know mine. Because We're only capable of conditional love. And it would be hard for us to truly express our love for each other if we knew the darkness that each of us had been through. See, the Bible teaches, it tells us in Romans, part of what we call the Romans Road, it says, again, God loves us unconditionally. It says, God shows His love for us, those who He has redeemed, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus has this complete, this unconditional love for every believer. And He loves you, warts and all. He knows your sin and He loves you anyway. We can only love each other if we're willing to surrender our egos and our pride and our self-interest to Christ and live through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, just as Jesus told Peter he had fallen short, we fall short also. Remember what it tells us in Mark. It says, with man it is impossible, but not for God. For all things are possible with God. See, Jesus will work through us. He has chosen undeserving people. Peter was undeserving. The disciples were undeserving. You and I are undeserving. And He has chosen us anyway to be His ambassadors, to take the message of salvation out to the world. But we need to surrender through Him. And when we do, He will work through us just like He worked through Peter. See, now as we continue in verse 17, it says, Peter was grieved. He was brokenhearted because Jesus said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to Jesus, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. See, when Jesus asked the third time, people go, why did Jesus ask the third time? Did He just want to hammer Peter? No, He asked the third time because as He asked the third time, Peter suddenly made the connection and realized he was doing this because he had denied Jesus three times. And Jesus doesn't stop here. He doesn't leave Peter hanging with no hope. What He does is He says to Peter, feed my sheep. And so then Peter has to have the right response. The final thing we want to look at in this passage that we're studying this morning is Jesus' command to Peter. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus is being so gracious towards Peter. From our perspective, we might have expected Jesus to rebuke Peter and say, look, you failed me, buddy. I don't have any place in my life for those who fail me. That might be our reaction. But instead, Jesus comes along and He humbles Peter and then tenderly and mercifully restores Peter. He enables Peter to respond rightly. Jesus is so unlike you and I. He always wants the best for us. On the other hand, when somebody fails us, rarely do we want them to be restored. I mean, I like to tell you a story about my father. My father was a hard-working, honest man, but he was an unbeliever. He was very loyal to his friends. But if you ever crossed him, if you ever did him wrong, you went on a list that you couldn't get off until hell froze over. When my dad lay dying of cancer, he came to finally know Jesus as his Lord and Savior about 6 weeks before he died. So we were talking one day and I told my dad, Dad, do you realize what a blessing it is that the Lord is allowing you to die of cancer instead of a heart attack or a car crash? Because He's giving you time to go back and mend some fences and restore some relationships that you know need to be taken care of. My dad became so infuriated with me, I just had to leave. I went home and I prayed that the Lord would touch his heart. And the next day when I went back to visit him,
he was in tears. And he said, "You know, you touched a nerve yesterday. But after I prayed, I realized how right you were. That the Lord has told me I need to restore some of these relationships." And over the next few weeks, my father had visitors that he hadn't talked to in years. And relationships were mended and healed and restored. This is the kind of change and restoration Jesus does for us. And only Jesus can do for us. See, Jesus' love restores us. See, have you received His love? And are you feeling the restoration in your life from Jesus? He will hide those sins and remember them no more because of His deep love for you. And then have you given your love back to Christ? This is what Peter did. This is what my dad did. And when you do that, then He heals you. And why does Christ heal us and show us His love? So that we can bless others in His name. And we can spread the healing of Christ. Jesus had told Peter and the other disciples in Luke chapter 5 that they would be catchers of men. Or as Mark and Matthew wrote, they would be fishers of men. They would become evangelists. But now look what Jesus is doing with Peter. He's telling Peter, you're going to have a responsibility beyond becoming an evangelist. You're not going to just catch men. But you will feed my sheep. So what is the requirement to feed the sheep of Jesus Christ? Is it moral perfection? Well, if it is, I fail. And likewise, so do all men. And if this is a requirement, then there would be no teachers. Is it an academic degree? You know, none of the disciples would fulfill that except for Paul. Is it the ability to raise money to build a big church complex? Obviously, I and the disciples all would fail in that category. Is it the ability to bring Christ's kingdom here to earth? Well, I hope you've seen this morning that we don't possess the ability to have that much love. We don't have the power to make that happen. There's only one requirement, and that is that we love Jesus as much as we are able. That we place Jesus above all else in this world. And when we do this, we will have this deep desire to serve Him and to share His gospel and teach His word. And it'll create a love in us that burns so hot that we have to share it. So the question is, do you love Christ? If you do, then feed His sheep. The deep love Christ has does not get caught up in or is not measured by some mystical experience, whether you have some special gift, but it is a love that cares for others more than yourself. John the Beloved wrote in his first letter, his first epistle, he said, "By this we know love, that Jesus laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters of Christ. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees another brother in Christ in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in you? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." See, if we love our Lord Jesus Christ, the natural fruit of this love is the outpouring of His love. The love of Christ through us for all those that He has called. You and I are the church. And as the church, God calls us to action. And this morning He asks us the same question as He asked the prophet Isaiah.
God said, whom shall we send in Isaiah chapter 6? Who shall we send and who will go for us? And then Isaiah said, here I am. I will go. Send me. Jesus said to Isaiah, and he's saying to you this morning, that you are to go. Go out into the world, and your answer should be, here I am. Send me. So, my beloved, I'm asking you to go. To go first and feed on the Word of God, the Bible. And when you do this, it'll equip you then to feed others and bless others in the name of Christ. Jesus has given us a command, the same command he gave to Peter. The question is, will you be obedient to the Word of God? Will you love him enough to serve? Will you feed his sheep? If we are obedient, then we have no choice but to go. To go and love others as Christ loves them. And to feed his sheep. And each one, each believer, each brother and sister serves and gives from their heart. Then there'll be no one whose need goes unmet. So again, I say, we need to go from here and feed upon Christ's Word, and then feed his sheep with love. That is your assignment. Father, we thank you for this time in your Word this morning. We ask that you would bless us, you would strengthen us, and that you would help us through your power to love others, to love the unlovable as Christ loves us. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Word. And it blesses us beyond anything we could have ever hoped for. Just as you blessed Peter that morning, beyond his greatest desires. We ask your blessing, Father, that we might bless others in your name. Amen.